occupation, many took to the streets of New York City to condemn the relentless and open-field bombing campaigns that have now left nearly 65,000 killed. Protesters held banners calling for the freedom of Palestine and the end of the forced starvation of its people as they marched the busy streets chanting for an end to the occupation by Israeli forces.
To tell the world that this is a complete hypocrisy because they want to uphold international laws for other people, but when it comes to Gaza, absolutely no response. And we deserve to be treated like normal human beings, just like every other person, and everybody deserves basic human rights.
Protesters are demanding that the Israeli occupation be sanctioned and an arms embargo be put in place, especially after the IOF has called for the evacuation of Gaza under the guise of so-called safe zones. This comes after the genocide is nearing 2 years, and the people of New York are saying, and they demand, an immediate ceasefire.
Appraisals were heard among the crowd for the global Sumud flotilla, which Israel has already attacked in Tunisia, as a flock of boats made their way to Gaza to break the imposed siege, while some protesters expressed hope in persevering until the siege is broken.
We have reached the point where Israel has turned the world into such a place where those who try to bring food are treated as criminals. While those who try to bring changes are treated as villains. And while those who orchestrate and lead genocides like Benjamin Netanyahu are treated with respect, are welcomed into the halls of international diplomacy.
I am seeing a slight shift, towards the better. It's going to be a tough fight. And we're going to fight harder. We're just going to keep fighting harder just to throw out our message that eventually Palestine will be free, and we need to save Gaza. We need to save Gaza now. No one is free unless Gaza is free.
With the UN General Assembly approaching in a week, people are already preparing to protest war criminal Benjamin Netanyahu's arrival to New York, while the international community continues to stay silent. Rachel Hamdouin, New York.
London's Genesis Cinema, a packed hall, watches From Ground Zero, a series of 22 short films by as many directors spanning fiction, documentary, and animation. Made by young filmmakers inside Gaza as the Israeli genocide unfolds, the collection captures fragments of daily life in the territory.
For so many years, I was making Palestinian stories into cinema and showing them all over the world. For sure, when something like this happening, I need to share these stories with the world. I need to show what's going on in the small details of their life, far from the news.
One film shows the effects of Israel's starvation campaign. Another, musicians and vocalists refusing to surrender joy. And another, a husband remembering his last phone call to his wife and children before they were killed by Israel. Together, they show audiences the devastation, the heartache, and the determination of a people who continue to create.
The message I kind of take with me is that the children, no matter how much they're suffering, they are still able to tell stories of hope and to get over this. And I think within the sadness of it all, losing people, losing your home and everything, your identity, your being a Palestinian is what keeps them going.
I felt closer to the people that are actually in Palestine, especially because we actually heard names. So it's not just numbers. And I think it's very important to people know the actual names of the people that are there.
The films have already been shown at international festivals to rapturous applause.
The screening feels like more than cinema. It is a reminder that storytelling is an act of survival, with the directors insisting that their voices be heard. For the Palestinian diaspora, this is a bridge. For others, a chance to witness lives that are often reduced to headlines, demonized and dehumanized.
I think in spite of the darkness, the grief, the sadness that the film shows, you also get a perspective of hope. No matter what's happening, these are people who are attached to a land, These are people who are surviving colonialism. They're enduring a genocide. The easy option is walk out, get your freedom. But it's not freedom. It's removal from what's part of your culture. You might stay alive, but are you living if you're not on the land that it means more to you?
Supported by award-winning American director Michael Moore, From Ground Zero offers no easy answers, but it proves that even in the harshest of circumstances, art endures. Saeed Pourreza, London.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا
الْقُرْآنُ نُورٌ وَبَيَانٌ الْقُرْآنُ هَدْيُ الْإِيمَانِ الْقُرْآنُ مِسْكُ الْخِتَامِ
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners listening to IRB English Radio right now. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. So, in this session, we will be practicing verse 17, ayah 17, Surah Ar-Ra'd, on page 200. 51. So I want you to have your Quran with you. Please turn to page 251, Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 17. Hassan Hussein and Ali Nasir and Masoom, they are here again with me. We'll be practicing, inshallah, this ayah. Everyone, ready, everyone?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's listen.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. أنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها فاحتمل السيل زبدا رابيا ومما يوقدون عليه في النار ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض كذلك يضرب الله الأمثال.
He sends down from the sky rain, and valleys flow according to their capacity, and the torrent carries a rising foam. And from that ore which they heat in the fire, desiring adornments and utensils, is a foam like it. Thus Allah presents the example of truth and falsehood. As for the foam, it vanishes, being cast off. But as for that which benefits the people, it remains on the earth. Thus does Allah present examples.
Nice recitation, mashallah, mashallah. This is a very long ayah and too many tajweed points. So we will, inshallah, practice all of them or the most important ones. Let's see how much we can do. Let's see what Allah Almighty says first. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Verse number 17, Surah Al-Ra'd, on page 251. أنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها فاحتمل السيل زبدا رابيا. It says that he sends, it means Allah, Allah Almighty sends down water from the sky, which means raining, yes?
Yes.
So it tells us about the power that Allah Almighty has and sends rain on the earth, yes?
Yes.
Sends down the rain, the water. So, which is really, really essential for our life. Yes? Then, بِقَدَرِهَا فَاحْتَمَلَ السَّيْلُ زَبَدَ الرَّابِيَا. So, we're at the valleys are flooded to the extent of their capacity, and the flood carries along a swelling scum. وَمِمَّا يُقِدُونَ عَلَيْهِ فِي النَّارُ. And from what they smelt in the fire. ابتغاء في النار. You join them. في النار ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله. For the purpose of making ornaments or wares. There arises a similar scar. كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل. That is how Allah compares the truth and falsehood. Brother Masoom, I want you to recite the ayah. As you are reciting, we'll practice the tajweed points, okay?
Yes.
Everyone, let's listen to Masoom. You may start.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Hasantum.
أنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها فاحتمل السيل زبدا رابيا.
Thank you so much. Wait. أنزل. You pronounced it with a hidden noon sound. Why did you do that?
Because it's ikhfa here.
Oh, the rule ikhfa, qa'idatul
ikhfa.
It tells us that whenever noon appears sakin, you have to
hide
if, if it's followed by the letter za, fa, tha, ta, dal, dal, ta, dha, sa, dad, Sin, Shin, these letters, Jim, for example, yeah? If these letters follow the letter Nun, which is Sakin, you have to hide the sound. Not Anzala, not clearly pronouncing it, but saying Anzala, Anzala. This is called Qaidatul Ikhfa, right? What are the other rules that we have beside Ikhfa? We have the Qaidatul
Izhar,
Izhar, and Qaidatul
Idgham,
Idgham, and Qaidatul Iqqa. These four important rules we have. So this one is Ikhfa. Let's move on. أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً The mad is wajib, okay? Because the word ma, it has the alif mad itself and also the hamza itself, by itself, yes? So the two things, the mad letter and the hamza, both are ain?
One
word. That's why you have to pronounce the word ma with an extension of four, five, six counts, 5 to 6 counts. Ma an. So when an, there is again a tanween. Tanween is the same as nun sakin, right? So it's followed by the letter fa. Again, you hide the sound like anzala here. Ma anfasalat.
Yes.
Yes. فسالت أودية بقدرها. This is the قاعدة. This is قاعدة الإقلاب, right?
Yes.
أودية تنوين followed by the letter ba, the rule إقلاب. You hide the sound of you change the sound of noon to a meme sound. N أودية no أودية but hide it now. أودية half kind of meme. أودية بقدرها. Next one. فاحتمل السيل زبدا رابيا. How do you say it?
زبدا رابيا.
أحسن. This is قاعدة الإدغام. Right? زبدا. تنوين is merged to the letter را. زبدا رابيا. دال is joined to the را. زبدا رابيا.
إدغام without غنة.
Yeah, without غنة. أحسنتم. Without extension. زبدا رابيا. And رابيان تنوين. Like when you stop here, تنوين فتحة changes to ألف مد, right?
Yes.
رابيان
رابيا.
What does that جيم tell us, حسن?
جيم allows us to make a pause.
Oh, yes. You're right. So this is a station. Tells you can make a pause here. وَمِمَّا وَمِنَّا. Again, إدغام is applied here. وَمِنَّا. It's what? Wamima, right?
Yes.
The one with ghunna. So you should extend the sound. يقيدون عليه في النار. Move on, read this part.
ومما يوقدون عليه في النار ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله.
أحسنتم. ومما يوقدون عليه في النار نون مشدد. Extend the sound. نارن نا sorry نارب 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 join them skip the همزة الوصل نارب تغاء the mad is wajib extended حليتين إظهار. So we have the four important rules here: إخفاء, إظهار, إقلاب and إدغام. All of them. ما شاء الله, what an ayah. So حليتين أو متاعين again إخفاء زبد مثله إدغام. كذلك move on.
كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل.
أحسنتم. Not an important point here.
فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء.
So if you stop here جفاء. No.
جفاء.
تنوين فتحة. جفاء.
Okay.
Of course, it doesn't have that alif there, okay, to let you remember it, but you have to. That's the rule, okay? That's the qaida.
There is extension at the end?
Yeah. Jufa'an. Tanwin fatha changes to alif mad. Jufa'a. Same thing. Go on. Next one. Sala tells us, Hassan.
Sala says it's better to make a pause.
Better to make
better
a pause.
Better to, continue.
Better to continue.
Better to continue.
Which one tells us better to stop?
Qila says.
Qila. picture. Move on. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ.
وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ.
أحسن. يَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. أحسنتم. So مي مشدد وَأَمَّا. Extend the sound. يَنْ. That's إخفاء. نَا. نَاس. Extend the sound. Move on. كَذَلِكَ.
كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ.
That's it. Very easy. أحسنتم. I will recite this ayah. Listen and repeat after me. That's a very long ayah. Let's give it a try. Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها.
أنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها.
أحسنتم. The word سماء and ماء both have مد. So the مد, both of them. The مدر واجب. You have to extend. فسالت أودية بقدرها فاحتمل السيل زبدا رابيا.
فسالت أودية بقدرها فاحتمل السيل زبدا رابيا.
ومما يوقدون عليه في النار ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله.
ومما يوقدون عليه في النار ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله.
كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل.
كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل.
فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء.
فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء.
وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض.
وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض.
كذلك يضرب الله الأمثال.
كذلك يضرب الله الأمثال.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Thank you so much, mashallah, to everyone. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us till the end of this session. That's it from us for today. See you, inshallah, in the next session. Stay with Arab English Radio. Every day, inshallah, we'll be here with you. Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir and Masum, thank you so much for being with us. See you next time. That's it. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم
النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
I've trusted you a thousand times but you always bring me back to the same place My heart is moaning but you can't hear What do you care about me except my face? You think you know everything, you think you're enough But sometimes a tiny virus ruins your life You have so many heroes but only in movies I've tried all you said
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio, broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Iran Radio and interesting facts about Islam. Islam's tradition of oral recitation developed into an efficient vehicle for mass-produced handwritten literature. A single Muslim reciter would read a book out loud to a group of scribes. Who copied his spoken words simultaneously. Europe, in contrast, used a much slower system. Monks copied books individually and one at a time. Gutenberg's movable type printing press was ill-suited for cursive Arabic and was only slowly adopted by Muslims. However, when lithography was invented in Germany in 1796, which use drawing on a stone with ink to produce illustrations, Muslims eagerly adopted this method of printing. It's replaced hand copying to make multiple copies of the Holy Quran and Arabic newspapers and books. And now we'll listen to the continuation of our schedule on Iran Radio. We start off this hour's programs with dialogue. The program looks at the most important conversations between Shia imams and their followers, questioners, and leaders of the other Islamic faith and sects. And our final program this hour will be Youth Station, a program all about young people and dealing with topics related to youth. Stay with us for this hour.
Why there is a need for a government which will be established by the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In one of the letters that he writes to Sheikh Mufid, he tells us one of the ways that we can end the ghibah.
Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi, Sahib al-Zaman.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam al-Mahdi, alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Please stay tuned. The 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the one who brings hope to all of humanity. As the world is being grinded between the oppressors and tyrants of the age, we look towards the heavens so that the advent of the 12th divinely appointed Imam comes sooner. We raise our hands in prayers and we raise our hands in supplications, so that the awaited Savior of humanity comes and brings the final hope and salvation that humanity is so yearning for and desiring. The sights and the eyes of the world are looking towards the advent of this great Savior, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance so that his eminence comes to establish the divine rule of the Almighty Allah for every single human being is completely dependent and needs this divine rule of the Almighty Allah. And it is this divine rule of the Almighty Allah, the kingdom of God that is to be established by Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, which will bring about ultimate justice in a world which is filled with cruelty and injustice. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. So, dear friends, we're humbly talking about this dialogue that occurs between the awaited Savior of humanity, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, and a man by the name of Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And so, I think it's interesting to note that Muhammad ibn Abdullah must have been a close individual to Imam al-Mahdi because he asks a lot of questions, and His Eminence, the 12th divinely appointed Imam, answers his questions. And so, sure, Imam al-Mahdi would also answer a random person's questions, but if he's answering so many questions because we're going through these questions, then this means that this was an individual that was close to the divinely appointed Imam. In one question, he asks that a man is facing a decision to do something or not do something. And so he picks up two rings. On one ring, it is inscribed, "Do it." and on the other ring it is inscribed, "Don't do it." Then this individual seeks good from Allah, which is istikhara, and he picks up one of these rings and he acts upon them. Is this lawful action? And can it be said that this is also like istikhara, which is seeking the best from Allah? Now, istikhara, of course, you know, it has its own rules and regulations and conditions. You know, you're not supposed to be doing this every single day for every single decision at every single time, you know, to the point where you handicap yourself, right? Allah the Almighty has given us common sense, logic, knowledge, wisdom, and also, you know, the ability to be able to go to our friends, our family members, our scholars, and ask for advice and then make educated decisions and, of course, then trust in the Almighty Allah. Sometimes we have a tendency to kind of take the istikhara thing and every single decision is based upon istikhara. And this kind of, you know, it messes everything up. Should I wake up? Should I go to school? Should I stand up? Should I sit down? Should I go to the washroom? And this creates more problems than anything else. But here, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, he says that what the scholar has ruled to be istikhara is actually drawing lots. Now, what's interesting is that Muhammad ibn Abdullah here, he didn't talk about a scholar. He didn't say that a scholar has made this ruling. But Imam al-Mahdi, you know, it seems like him using this this hidden knowledge or this inner knowledge was able to even say that the scholar that is putting this forth and is calling this istikhara, which you are now asking about it, kind of in an indirect manner, is actually drawing lots. And so it is not istikhara. Again, a very interesting, you know, response that shows the inner knowledge, the hidden knowledge that Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, has. And of course, kind of warns us, listen, you know, not everything is considered to be an istikhara. And two, is be very reserved when you do want to use this seeking the best from the Almighty Allah. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. IRIB English Radio, our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
We have got to change the way we are, brothers and sisters. If repentance is something changing, because that's what repentance is. Repentance doesn't mean just saying astaghfirullah and I want to continue doing whatever I was. Repentance means I want to change. I want to change the course of my life. I want to do something different. And it's a time that if we move in that direction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to add blessings. Barakah is, this is the meaning of barakah. What is it that causes the believers, we're lacking motivation, this is the underlying factor, I think, right now that we are having. Believers globally, for the most part, are lacking the motivation. If we were motivated enough and mobilized enough, without a shadow of a doubt, we would have the Imam right now with us. Okay, I do not have any doubt in this, because I know our numbers and we know our enemies. We see the circumstances and the way they are today. What we're lacking right now is enough motivation within the believers to actually take the right steps. There's a lot more that we can be doing, but we're not. What is causing this? What's going on? There's one thing that Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayhi constantly talks about in Nahjul Balagha. There's certain concepts that are mentioned here and there, and we find them, they're very important to learn about them. For example, the Tawheed that Amirul Mu'mineen talks about in Nahjul Balagha is amazing. The depth that he tries to give us, if we read them, try to understand them, is truly amazing. You don't find that elsewhere. There are many other concepts that you find there. But one concept that is constantly repeated over, and you see it in the behavior of the Imam as well, and that is condemning those who are motivated by material desires. by temptation of this temporal world, wanting the luxury of this world. And in his own action, he did whatever he could to try to push people away from that.
For listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islam ID.
Islam ID.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth
Station.
This is Asma, and I'm so happy to be here.
And this is Masuma.
I hope wherever you are, you're doing well and everything is just fine with you. How about you, Masuma? Are you okay?
Yes, thank God.
How's everything going?
Quite chaotic, but it's fine.
Still, we're surviving. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the spirit of a student.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, sometimes to imagine how the future would go, because all the efforts we're making and all these hustles and bustles and these business are just for the future. Like, we want to make sure that we have a guarantee. We have guaranteed that blessing and prosperous future. But sometimes this thought crosses your mind that what if one day I wake up and things are no longer in harmony with whatever I've planned for them to be? Like, what if I wake up and then I'm ugly? I'm the elephant man.
Oh.
Yeah, in the worst possible way. Like, in a way that the society would no way digest me.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Or, I mean, let me put it this way, this very direct way, that which one do you prefer?
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer yourself in this imagination to wake up as a penniless person or as an ugly person?
I'd rather be ugly.
Explain yourself, please.
So I think being ugly is not going to be that hard, because most of the time it's how you feel about yourself. And if you feel you're beautiful and you accept it, then you're fine with it. Like, I know many people around me who are really beautiful but feel ugly. And also, I have seen that many other people that are not very conventionally attractive, but they have, you know, the character, the personality, and they're good to go.
Okay, then what's the problem with being penniless? Like, I feel it's easier to be penniless because you can work and gain the money.
No. If you have money, you can buy the beauty.
No, all the beauties are not buyable.
Most of them are.
No, you see, sometimes we have to have a clear-cut definition about what we're exactly talking. How do you define beauty? I guess that would be the question.
Well, how normal people do, height, weight, face, symmetry, eyebrows, stuff like that.
So then maybe we really do not have the same perspective about ugliness in this thought-provoking idea that I'm just dropping. See, when we talk about, I mentioned the example of Elephant Man. Like, he was so ugly in a way that nobody could digest him in the society. And by the way, that was as a result of wars and stuff like that, that he, because in many documentaries even, you can see that the people who come out of war, mm-hmm. and then their face have been deformed in a very ugly way, even they themselves cannot look at the mirror.
Oh, so we're talking about the extremes.
It's so extreme. I told you, it's the imagination. Like, put yourself in the place of that person. Like, nothing is going to buy your face for you.
Okay, you're kind of convincing me. You're good at convincing, girl. I was literally fine with being ugly till this moment.
No, the ugly you yes. had in your mind, I guess, was being unattractive.
Probably. I thought I would get it as plastic surgery and I would be fine.
No, there are many movies out there. Like, you know, the mental crash that it would... Okay, let's go for a break and then we'll come back to talk about this. Take this as a cliffhanger. This is the ground of our discussion. We'll be back.
Is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Yes, I was just saying that sometimes this ugliness creates such a mental crash and disorder that you cannot deal with it. Like, there are many people whom, after suffering from a period of time when they are actually going through, after like an accident, they have to go to many surgeries in order to get their face back. Not a beautiful face back. Their own face back. Mm-hmm. But they cannot get that back the same way God has given it to them. Like, at first, whoever you are, even if you're not attractive, you can be confident because being unattractive is different from being ugly.
Yes.
Ugly is the minority. And ugly is always judged. And don't tell me that it does not affect you, because as a human being, it is.
It does. Of course it does.
I cannot come into a community and believe that nobody else is looking at me. Because they do.
Yeah, they do. We're looking at
people,
they
judge you.
Yeah.
And they judge you. The hardest part is that they would judge you. Now you are your beautiful shape, and they judge you. So what about I'm not the same person that I used to be?
That is very, very thought-provoking, because at first I thought we're talking about little insecurities that we see in teenagers, like some textured skin, and I don't know, a big nose. That. But you're talking about extremes, and now that you think about
that... Okay, I will give you another example. Okay. This always would be justifying.
Mm-hmm.
See, even... You see these teenagers have got too much pimples on their face?
Yes.
They cannot even have interaction with their friends because of the pimples. They do not see their face in the mirror. They see pimples.
Yeah.
Like pimple getting to be a human being.
So that can be solved with money, you know. There are so many good doctors, dermatologists.
What about the trauma it has created in you?
Okay, I'm convinced. I'd rather be beautiful and penniless.
What about the ugly people then?
Let's be fair. Most of the time, we don't have ugly people. It's just different types and different tastes. Someone that you might call ugly, I might call beautiful. That is also a thing.
Oh, I hope you can pardon me, but I think that's more of a slogan.
No.
Yes, there are no ugly people. You might...
I'm not saying there are no ugly people, so I did not say that.
No, you say that it depends on your perspective.
Yeah, it highly depends on your perspectives, and there is also a side of character that every person is at some point given a chance to prove their inner beauty as well. So we need to take care of that as well. We need to take that point into consideration as well.
You're mentioning a very good point.
And I have seen very beautiful people that once they opened their mouth, then they were the ugliest creatures for
then
me.
Then the ugliness comes out.
Yes, and then I could never unsee the ugliness ever.
Exactly.
So that is also a thing. So God forbid, even if someone is like literally very, very, very ugly, we're talking about the extremes. We're not talking about simple insecurities that society has
created. It's imagination. And
We're free to imagine.
Yeah, we're free.
There is still this factor that there is inner beauty. And of course, that is, you know, beauty fades by age. That is also a thing.
Do you think it would differ from one gender to another? Like, female would pick, okay, I can't stand ugliness. I would pick pennilessness. Like, I would rather be penniless, but not ugly.
I am doing that currently. I just accepted that.
Yeah, so I think I'm just asking, is it the matter of gender?
I don't think so. I think it's more of how individuals think. I know people who would not leave their house, some men or boys, who would not leave their house unless they look perfect.
Oh, yeah.
So the universe
has changed.
Yeah, and this universe, we cannot, you know, put divisions by genders.
You cannot categorize it by gender. Yeah, I do believe so as well.
On the other side, I know some friends who don't care at all. They just put their hijab on and they leave.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't do any specific thing. They don't care about how they look.
Skincare, routines.
No, they believe in I'm beautiful anyhow.
Yeah.
And then just leave.
Yeah, that's very true. So what we actually are talking about in today's episode of A Youth Station is which one you'd rather to pick, like ugliness or being penniless. So maybe the real answer isn't choosing between poverty and ugliness, but realizing that dignity and kindness outshine both. So by the way, you're listening to Youth Station. Masma and I are talking about ugliness and poverty. And we got to this point that, yes, ugliness in its extreme form is very hard to defeat.
And also poverty is very hard. You see, you said earning money is kind of easy. I think that's because...
Not easy compared to ugliness, I said it.
No, I think I'd rather... No, now that I'm thinking again, let's imagine, right, currently I am earning money only for myself. I don't need to support my family.
Exactly.
My family is healthy and happy. They're doing good by themselves. Yeah. I'm just, you know, earning a little money. I don't know, for my skincare and, you know, just for my little luxurious
stuff. Extra.
Yeah, extra expenses and nothing really that serious. But now, poverty, on the other hand, we have seen how much Islam has also told us that it can lead to losing your faith. That means that this is harder. At some point, you might not care how I look, but you would care that my family is starving and, I don't know, my children are sick. And just money could solve it all.
Yeah, you know, there's a quote that is very beautiful, and it says that some people are so poor, all they have is money. You know, sometimes the money you have... Now, we talked about ugliness and we also talked about poverty, but I do believe that being so rich in your pockets doesn't mean that you're rich in your heart.
Of course, that is also...
That's why I usually think fighting poverty is perhaps a little bit easier than actually fighting that poverty which exists inside of you, in your heart and in your mind.
I don't think so. I totally understand they both are a kind of hardship, but I think poverty is a lot harder. And we have heard also in our religion that Allah says that poverty is a kind of test. And it's a hard test. We know that. Of course, Allah has also mentioned that I will test you by giving you wealth and also by taking wealth away from you. That is both. So both of them are hard. But I personally think not having money or, you know, being in a lot of expenses and all, that is harder.
So hard, yeah.
A lot
now,
hard.
You see, what we are doing right now in here is talking on paper.
Yes.
This is easier on paper. Yes. Easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
Practicing it would be very difficult. And why I didn't talk about that slogan that beauty is deepest skin, because, you know, it's time to face it. Like, no, sometimes your appearance also is going to say a lot about you.
Not sometimes, most of the time. Let's accept
that. Yeah, both of them are very difficult. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that, as you just said, if the ugliness is not extremely vivid, like you walk in the society, and because that's very difficult, you know, realizing and sympathizing with the feeling that a person with a deformed face has to go through is very difficult. Like imagining myself being a child going to school and then after that wishing to graduate, wishing to have a future for myself, yet being deformed physically, it's a total hardship.
I understand it, but, you know, I think in both cases, beauty mm-hmm. and money, either we have it or not.
Yeah.
That is what our religion has taught us. It's a test.
Yeah,
if
surely.
We have the beauty, are we going to get arrogant? If we don't have the beauty, are we going to be hopeless?
Mm-hmm.
If we have the money, are we again going to be, you know, rude and all?
Yeah.
And if we are in poverty, are we going
we
to be patient?
We may turn to Pharaoh, like the
yes.
the stories that we have mm-hmm. of all these kings and queens that were so proud to the point that they got themselves as a god.
Yeah.
They thought they are the god of their own era. So money also brings about corruption. But all that we care about is that, yes, money matters, beauty matters, but not at the expense mm-hmm. of losing your inner beauty.
Yes.
This is the point which we really have to recognize. And yes, also your perspective matters too much. But sometimes the burden of poverty and the burden of ugliness is so huge that you cannot fight it with your own perspective, because society is going to actually minimalize you.
Yes, but we should know that we don't have to fight this battle all alone.
Exactly.
We need to take help from God. So as we learn in Surah Al-Hujurat, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you.
Yeah.
So this ayah is literally enough, if I am poor, rich, ugly, or beautiful, to know that I need to
what
be
is going
the right
to prioritize
person.
Me
yes.
in the God's eyes is my obedience to Him
mm-hmm.
and how pious I am.
And indeed, it's a very hard battle to be, you know, to have a strong
very
faith.
We tried not to talk any
yes.
slogans today. Sometimes poverty is going to hide the generous hearts. And sometimes money is going to highlight the people that do not have anything deep down in their hearts.
Yes.
So you have to be careful about these very paradoxical ideas that money is everything and then beauty is everything. No, the thing that matters the most is your heart and is your obedience to God. So this was all for today. I hope you have enjoyed it. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host here in Tehran for the next hour. We start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minbar. The program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. Our varied radio productions feature will follow. And we round up this hour's programs with Leaders' Speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
United Nations Commission of Inquiry concludes Israel has committed genocide in Gaza, and that top Israeli officials have incited that genocide. And as the genocide in Gaza continues, the Israeli Prime Minister admits that the regime is facing growing isolation on the world stage. And Tehran underlines that all nations should be given guaranteed protection against any form of attack or threat of attack against their nuclear facilities. Hello everyone and welcome to World News. Our top story, the Israeli military has killed now over 50 Palestinians in new attacks across Gaza since dawn this morning as a genocidal rampage rages on. Israeli airstrikes targeted a number of areas across Gaza City, including Al-Sabra, Al-Daraj, Al-Shati refugee camp, Tel Al-Hawa, and surrounding areas, Residents report unrelenting bombing as thousands are fleeing south. Israeli War Minister Yisrael Katz hailed Gaza City offensive, declaring, quote, that Gaza is burning. Meanwhile, three Palestinians were martyred in Deir al-Balah camp in central Gaza and five others in a residential home in northern Gaza. Their bodies were transferred to Al-Shifa Hospital. Over 60 people remain missing under rubble in Al-Daraj and Sheikh Radwan. U.S.-Israeli genocide, which began back in October of 2023, has claimed over 64,900 Palestinian lives and left over 163,000 wounded. Our correspondent, Deir al-Balah, Gada Ibrahim, joined us earlier.